How do breath, rhythm, heartbeat, and haiku fit together to work for peace? That's something we'll explore today in this conversation with poet, playwright, and essayist Sonia Sanchez. Named Philadelphia's first poet laureate, she talks about her plans for 2012 and invites the world to participate in her program, Peace is a Haiku Song. Stay with us today to hear Sonia Sanchez, and we'll also find out about the first collection ever of her plays, I'm Black When I'm Singing, I'm Blue When I Ain't, from the editor Jacqueline Wood. That's ahead on this edition of New Letters on the Air, produced at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. But first, let's listen to Sonia Sanchez read haiku in memory of Max Roach, the famous drummer and her dear friend.
10 haiku for Max Roach. 1. Nothing ends. Every blade of grass, remembering your sound. Your sounds exploding in the universe return to earth in prayer. Da-boom-boom. As you drum, your hands kept reaching for God, 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 God. The morning sky so lovely imitates your laughter. You came warrior clear, your music kissing our spines, feet tapping, singing in peach our blood. You came drumming sweet life on sails of flesh. Your fast beat riding the air settles in our bones. Your drums soloing our breaths unto the beat, unbeat, unto the beat, unbeat, unto the beat, unbeat. Your hands shimmering on the legs of rain. Your hands shimmering on the legs of rain.
10 haiku for Max Roach. That's from Sonia Sanchez's book, Morning Haiku. She wrote 3 of them for Max Roach's funeral and then went home and wrote the rest. Her haiku is actually inscribed on his tombstone at the Woodlawn Cemetery in New York. Sanchez has been fascinated with the form since she began writing in the 1960s. The author of over a dozen collections of poetry, as well as plays and children's books, Sonia Sanchez is far from done. In December 2011, she was proclaimed Philadelphia's first poet laureate. When she visited the University of Missouri, Kansas City for Black History Month, as a College of Arts and Sciences Bernard and Haskell lecturer, sponsored by the Black Studies Program, in partnership with the Division of Diversity, Access, and Equity, and the English Department of Language and Literature, we talked about her new role in Philadelphia.
It was quite an honor in December when Marinetta informed me that I would be the first poet laureate of Philadelphia. And one of the things that they wanted me to do was to mentor a younger poet. But, you know, all of that we've done already, you know, for years and years and years. You mentor more than one or two or three or four because that's what you do when you're a poet or when you're a writer. And then also one of the major things that I've been doing that I had just begun was a peace mural with Mural Arts and First Person Arts.
That public art project created by local artists and communities.
And I called it Peace is a Haiku Song. And I said that we need to have a peace mural in Philadelphia, one that would have what I call chords of peace and raps of peace and the paintings about peace to tell the populace that peace is a haiku song. Peace is necessary for our children. We must really insinuate our children's minds and hearts and eyes with the idea of peace. So we will have the mural there on Broad Street, down from the mayor's office, but we also said we need sidewalks of peace. So we'll have some sidewalks with peace haiku on it and flags. You know how they hang flags on big avenues, that we would have children's peace haiku on the flags. And then I said we should also have kiosks so you can push a button and you can hear a school child reciting or a well-known poet reciting a piece haiku. So we have three lines from Sister Maya Angelou and Sister Alice Walker and Sister Toni Morrison. We'll have the rap from Carmen and Talib and Mos Def, and then the chords of peace from Odine Pope, the great sax player, and Christa McBride. And, you know, this is what we want to do, to have this multi-layered thing that says peace in every part of art, from paintings to music to verse.
Well, you know, your most recent book of poetry is called Morning Haiku.
That's right.
And I had picked out one of the series of haiku that has to do with the Philadelphia murals.
Sister Jane, who runs the mural arts there, they did a big book about Philadelphia murals, and she asked me to do an introduction. And the 10 haiku are the introduction for the Philadelphia murals. One, Philadelphia roots lighting these walls with fireflies. Two, flowers stretched in prayer on a cornerstone wall. Three, brown-skinned children dancing with butterflies. Four, these children's faces humiliate the stars. Five, Philadelphia painted with blue hallelujahs. Six, winter, a warrior's face, I hear our bones singing. Seven, in the open alley, a galaxy of dreams. Eight, common ground is we, forever breathing this earth. Nine, hands in the green light, saluting peace. 10, even in the rain, these murals pause with rainbows.
10 haiku for Philadelphia murals.
Right.
That's by Sonia Sanchez, Poet Laureate of Philadelphia, and it's from her 2010 book, Morning Haiku, and this is New Letters on the Air.
I also suggested to everyone in the city that we also have poetry in the subway, so children getting on the subway trains can look up and see a peace haiku, and it might be theirs. It might be a friend that they know, or it might be a famous poet, you know, haiku. We've gotten haiku from people in London and Paris and the Caribbean, all over, you know, from Africa, saying, here, I want to contribute to this piece haiku. And we want to, like, take it on the road, and we can just spread it all over the cities. We can begin to talk about peace in a very realistic fashion.
Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? Mm-hmm. And when is this unveiling?
I think it's in late June.
June
in
of Philadelphia. 2012, uh-huh. Right. Oh, that's great. Well, you know, you begin this whole book with your essay at the very beginning.
Oh, hakuography.
Yes.
I maintain we are talking about the geography and the study of this hakuography. I have a long essay in my new collection of essays about the haiku. And part of this is in here. One of the things I talk about, the first time I found this flowered book high up on a shelf at the 8th Street bookstore in New York City, a book that announced Japanese haiku. From the moment I opened that book and read the first haiku, I slid down on the floor and cried, and it was change. I had found me. It's something to find yourself in a poem, to discover the beauty that I knew resided somewhere in my 21-year-old bloodstream. From the moment I asked the clerk in the bookstore if I was pronouncing this haiku word correctly, I knew that I had discovered me, had found an awakening and awareness that I was connected not only to nature, but to the nature of myself and others. From the moment I saw the blood veins behind beautiful eyes, the fluids in teeth, and the enamel in tongues, I knew that haiku were no short-term memory, but a long memory. That is the kind of thing that I try to make people understand. What I do also, too, is I go into the schools and I teach the haiku, and I say to them, the haiku has no greed, it has no hatred, it has no fat, but what it has is that wonderful relationship with nature, you know, the very obvious outside nature, but also the nature of ourselves, those two connections. And with exercises, when I teach children how to breathe, you know, we usually breathe from the chest and the throat and the nose and the mouth, but when you breathe from here, you know, down here in the gut, then the first time they try it, they cough because they're unaccustomed to doing it. But once you can teach them to breathe, then you're teaching them peace. And when you teach children peace, you teach them life. And part of this is a celebration to young people. Because in one part, I say, I know when I heard young poets say in verse, in conversation, I'm going to put you on pause. Can you imagine I was hanging out with some of the young rappers, and they said, I'm going to put you on pause. And my head popped back, and I said, on pause? I heard their haiku nature, their haikuography. They were saying, I got to make you slow down and check out what's happening in your life and in the world. So when you put someone on pause, you're saying, hey, slow down. You got to check this out. So this haiku slows us down, makes us stay alive and breathe with that one breath that it takes to recite a haiku. And I said, this haiku, this tough form disguised in beauty and insight is like the blues, for they both offer no solutions, only a pronouncement, a formal declaration, an acceptance of pain, humor, beauty, and non-beauty, death and rebirth, surprise and life, always life. Both always help us to maintain memory and dignity. What I found in the 8th Street bookstore was extraordinary and ordinary. Silence, crystals, cornbread and greens, laughter, brocades, the sea, Beethoven, a Coltrane, spring and winter, blue rivers, dreadlocks, blues, a waterfall, empty mountains, bamboo, bodegas, ancient generals, lamps, fireflies, Sarah Vaughan, her voice exploding in the universe, returning to earth in prayer, plum blossoms, silk and steel, Conte Hondo, wine, hills, flesh, perfume, a breath inhaled and held, silence. And I found that my mouth and the river are one and the same. I set sail in tall grass. No air stirs.
That's the other part of haikuography that begins the collection Morning Haiku by Sonia Sanchez. And it's such a wonderful story. You know, it never occurred to me to attach haikus to breathing. Mm-hmm. That's so fascinating.
And one of the things you see in these modern day haiku that we write, we don't just hold ourselves to five, seven, you know, five. What we teach students now is that the haiku is as long as one breath that you take. The haiku is synonymous with breath, and it's synonymous with peace and life. So you could also have ones that follow 575, but you also, on many levels, say it and teach it in a much different way than I taught it in the 1960s when I first started to have this love affair with haiku. And I do exercises with my students about breathing. I put my hand on a student's heart facing each other. You know, he or she puts his or her hand on my heart. Then I cover his hand and she covers my hand, right? And then I say, everyone in here, keep quiet. Let's listen to each other's heartbeat. When you get students and children to listen to each other's heartbeat, they hear a human being and they're less prone to hurt. Talk about them, want to hit them, because you introduce into the classroom life and beauty and a heartbeat that goes around the room.
You know, Sonia, your work has been so much a celebration of some of the difficult journeys. I always think of you as being so strong in the Black arts movement, but also as a real woman's poet as well, very much a feminist. Mm-hmm. And there's a wonderful series of haikus that honor different women.
Oh, right.
About the freedom.
Freedom sisters.
I wondered if you would feel good about reading
sure.
that one.
I was blessed, my sister, to be chosen by the Smithsonian and the Cincinnati Museum to be one of the 20 Freedom Sisters chosen for an exhibit. It started out initially at the Cincinnati Museum, and then it went from there to California, and then it went to the Civil Rights Museum in Memphis. Sister Merle Evers and I were there. We stood out on the balcony where Brother Martin had been assassinated. And then as we walked down the museum, you saw the poem that I had done to Brother Malcolm on the wall. But here we were, and there were 20 of us, all the way from Harriet Tubman to Charlene Hunter Gault. There were 15 sisters who had made transition, and there were five who were still kicking. So I called it Nine Haiku for Freedom Sisters. One, Kathleen Cleaver. Quicksilver, panther, woman, speaking in thunder. Two, Charlene Hunter Gault. Summer, silk woman, brushing the cobwebs off southern legs. Three, Shirley Chisholm, we saw your woman sound, footprinting congressional hallways. Four, Betty Shabazz, your quiet face arrived at a road unafraid of ashes. Fanny Lou Hamer, feet deep in cotton, you shifted the country's eyes. 6. Barbara Jordan, Texas star, carrying delicate words around your waist. 7. Rosa Parks, baptizer of morning light, walking us away from reserved spaces. 8. Merle Evers Williams, you rescued women and men from southern subscriptions of death. 9. Dr. Dorothy Irene Hite. 1. Your words helped us reconnoiter the wonder of women. 2. Woman sequestered in the hurricane of herstory.
That was 9 haiku for Freedom Sisters from the collection Morning Haiku by Sonia Sanchez, published in 2010. You're listening right now to New Letters on the Air. And it's nice, too, because in the very back of this book, it gives notes on who all these people are, just in case people might not know that.
Well, I did the one on Emmett Lewis Till because I was someplace, and I do, when I start my readings, I do a litany of names. And someone raised their hand and said, who's Emmett Lewis Till?
Oh.
And I was stunned for a minute, and then I thought, this is another generation.
Another generation,
you know,
who does not know.
And so therefore, I thought it was important to write something about Emmett Lewis Till.
Right. I'm Angela Elam, and I'm also with Jacqueline Wood, who's one of our new professors here at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, who is part of the book I'm Black When I'm Singing, I'm Blue When I Ain't, and other plays, and wrote the beginning that put a lot in historical context for us. It's a wonderful read to sit down and, Jacqueline, read your research that
you've done.
And then, Sonia, to read those plays, they're dated in time.
Mm-hmm.
What brought the two of you together?
Actually, my area of specialty in research is African-American women dramatists. And I taught a course in African-American drama, and I was searching for that female voice during the militant period. And, of course, the one voice that I found outstanding and there all on her own was Sonia. And I was very shocked to see that everywhere I looked, I found plays in old anthologies and old journals, but I didn't find that collection of plays to teach my students with. Mm-hmm. And so I kept saying, where is it? Where is it? And finally realized it had not been written. And I decided that someone needed to do that. So I actually went and found Sonia and started out, first of all, by interviewing her for an article on her drama and why it was that it wasn't out there being, you know, studied, why not that many people knew she did drama and how did that happen, and came to find out that she still very much loves the dramatic tradition and playwriting. And after I spoke with her, we began to talk about her other plays, and I decided to pull together the collection. So it's been a real labor of love. I've enjoyed so much working with it.
Most especially since I'm such a hard person to pin down on things. And I was doing, actually, a new play. There is a new play in there.
Two by two.
But I was doing a longer one, which I won't talk about, because the more I talk about it, the more that it doesn't get finished. But I'm determined when Dear Sister Jackie does another piece on me that it will be ready. That's my surprise for you.
I was thrilled when Sonia mentioned that she was working on another play, because it was an honor to be able to actually have two of the plays in this collection, which had never been published before.
I'm Black When I'm Singing, I'm Blue When I Ain't was a piece that I did after observing some of the women artists. When you read that play, it starts off with a woman who's very obviously in an insane asylum. And then when the doctor comes, it's obvious that she's more than one character. This person who might be a Nina Simone type, perhaps, right? Someone who might be a Billie Holiday type. And then a Bessie Smith character. You know, all these things, I had to go back and do all this research about where they were, how they were, where they live, how they could not go into hotels and stay in hotels, how they had to go and live in other spaces with other people, you know. I think it's really apropos since Whitney has just died.
Mm-hmm. Right. Whitney Houston.
People don't understand. They look at her and say, look at what she did. But I've been around a lot of the young rappers who have said that they've been exploited that they've set down to sign contracts and people have put down drugs around them, that it is very much that kind of thing. And you can really get hooked or not hooked. You know, you could get a contract or not get a contract depending on how you respond to it. So one of the things I tried to do in that particular play was to talk about the very obvious people who indeed exploit. And when I first saw this produced, I was telling dear Jackie that I on purpose was sitting out in the audience, and this woman is talking to the audience, and she's grunting, you know. She's obviously out of her mind at some point, too, but she begins to talk to that first group, you know, sitting in the theater. And you know that she's doing it well, or the play is doing well, because they get nervous. They start twisting and turning. I saw that happen, you know, in theater. And I said, thank you, Breck. Thank you, Breck, right?
the German playwright.
Right, yeah. You know, you bring the people in. And so this is how it begins. It begins confrontationally. So when Bessie, let's say, got drunk and fell out on the floor, people had just cheered her from a stage in Detroit, Michigan, right? And here she is flailing on the floor, drunk, whatever, and they kick her and say, you know, you ain't so great. And the subtext then is that we proclaim how much we love our artists, how we love Whitney. But the other thing is that we really don't, you know, because we think, what are they going to do next? You can't control these artists, this creativity. Why don't we draw them in and protect them? Why don't we say, you are the artist that makes me dream, will make me stay human, will keep me alive in the midst of sometimes these extraordinarily ordinary lives that we lead, but you make us live and stay alive. Mm-hmm. But it's like we're waiting for them to slip instead of saying, you're a human being, you slipped like me. Last week I did the same thing. Come on, my dear sister, you know, and we're here to protect you. We don't do it. We laugh. We lean back and laugh, say, see, look at there. And in that piece, we have that, you know, when Bessie falls out there on the floor, and this woman who's schizophrenic with all these three people within her. I say simply what this is about. Yeah, people do exploit them, but we, the audience, we, the people, exploit the artists also instead of loving them unconditionally. And that's what I want us to be responsible for from now on to our artists, you see.
And you're dealing with some of that even in that newest play that you wrote not too long ago, 2x2.
Uh-huh.
Because Jamal is an artist, and then his mother is having all sorts of problems mm-hmm. with drugs over time, and mm-hmm. you're dealing with some of those same issues there.
I've read from 2x2 in audiences in Harlem, and I've had women cry. Because we don't talk about how drugs have decimated. But we also don't talk about how a grandmother who was once a mother can change, can raise a child differently so she doesn't lose a child, so she can let Jamal go and erase the mural that is being done there, right? Because they haven't asked proper permission, you know, that's a sacred space there and for someone to paint on it. And the grandmother knows that. Whereas the grandmother with her daughter, who is Jamal's mother, and this actually happened in Philadelphia when the young students confronted Mayor Rizzo and the city of Philadelphia and said, we want black history in high schools, you know, we want more black teachers. Rizzo came down on them and chased them. So when that play is gone, we have the screen in the back with the scene, you know, happening there in Philadelphia. But she comes home to her mother because it goes back. It flashes mm-hmm. back. And she says, we did it, Mom. And,
because she's an activist,
you know,
at that point.
Right.
Yes.
And the point is that she was an activist. But the subtext, too, when you live in North Philadelphia or in Harlem, if you are to survive, you've got to be an activist. You've got to do something because then people won't bother you. It's when you stop and lay back into what that whole situation is, then people will come after you and say, hey, baby, look at them big legs. Hey, baby. Whereas before, the guys there would say, go on, sister, go up there and tell those people up there on the hill that we want this, you see. You understand? And the moment that the mother slashed the grandmother, she says, you came in and you were talking about God was in the streets. I'm not used to seeing God in the streets or Jesus in the streets, whatever the words are. And she couldn't deal with that at the time. And so she lost her daughter in that one quick moment, you see. And the point is, a cautionary tale is that we lose our children if we don't really understand what they're doing, if we don't pay close attention to what they're doing.
I'd like to speak to it from the perspective of a critic editor. It's such a riveting piece. I'm so looking forward to the day when it will be produced. And that's the one thing that has been part of this labor of love for me, is that Sonia's plays have not been accessible for conversation, for people to begin to write and critique and take a look at and really examine her dramatic art. And having these two new plays also for them to be looking at, I'm hoping that her work as a dramatist comes into the conversation a lot more. And I just really look forward to Two by Two, because she uses the Brechtian approach, you know.
She does. Bertolt Brecht was very much in your face in that same sort of way.
And that whole idea of versum dens effect, which is to break away from the idea of the audience suspending its disbelief. In other words, the audience sort of removes itself from the reality of this actually being a performance. So we try to connect the audience directly with the artists, with the concept behind it. And he used to use film and clips in the back behind his performers to remind people, this is just a play, and you need to really get into the subject matter of it rather than be entertained. And so I love how she has used those devices. My biggest wish is that the conversation that we will be having about her will go on, and that her drama will become much more revered and also known.
Well, it's a wonderful collection. I'm Black When I'm Singing, I'm Blue When I Ain't, and Other Plays by Sonia Sanchez, edited with an introduction by Jacqueline Wood. And you know, one thing that we didn't talk about at all was your recent collection called Shake Loose My Skin, New and Selected Poems. And there was a poem in here. We don't have time to read the entire thing, but I thought it would be a wonderful way to end with a poem for July 4th, 1994.
For President Havel, on the occasion of receiving the Medal of Honor in Philadelphia.
Yes, and he was a playwright.
And they requested that I write something special for him. And I said, you know, my brother, we can never say too much about democracy and justice and peace. I'm reading from a poem for July 4th, 1994. And if we nourish ourselves, our communities, our countries, and say no more Hiroshima, no more Auschwitz, no more Wounded Knee, no more Middle Passage, no more slavery, no more Bosnia, no more Rwanda, no more intoxicating ideas of racial superiority. As we walk towards abundance, we will never forget the earth, the sea, the children, the people, for we, the people, will always be arriving, a ceremony of thunder, waking up the earth, opening our eyes to human monuments, and it'll get better, if we, the people, work, organize, resist, come together for peace, racial, social, and sexual justice. It'll get better. eBay, yee yee. It'll get better. eBay, yee yee. eBay, yee 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 yee. It'll get better.
That's the end of Poem for July 4th, 1994, from Sonia Sanchez's book, Wounded in the House of a Friend. It's now included in her collection of new and selected poems called Shake Loose My Skin. Sanchez also read from her book, Morning Haiku, and talked about her collection of plays with editor Jacqueline Wood of UMKC's Black Studies program. For links and more information on the Philadelphia Poet Laureate's program, Peace is a Haiku Song, visit our website, newletters.org/radio. New Letters on the Air is a production of New Letters Magazine, published by the University of Missouri, Kansas City, with partial financial support from the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Today's show was produced with help from Annie Walsh, Andrew Hansbrough, and Stephanie Hughes. I'm Angela Elam. Thanks for listening to New Letters on the Air.